In the Old Testament, often mountains are, it stands for a dominion, not in a symbolic sense, but like the Mount of the Daughter of Zion, Mount Ephraim. The mountain on which, because they built their cities on mounts, the Jerusalem was built on Mount Zion. And it is, it could be capitals. Capitals of various dominions. And that's not so much symbolic as idiomatic, perhaps? Meaning it's just a way of talking about a dominion. It is a mountain. So as the ten horns are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet,
maybe the seven mountains are seven dominions, which have not been divided from among the nations. I remember someone talking about the New World Order. I don't really get into that garbage, because I think it's all garbage. Until the powers come that can really control it. Whatever they set up now, it's like Tinker Toys. It's a joke. When the dragon comes, he will set up his own form of world government. It's going to rise out of the sea. It's not going to come from the UN. And the sea is the multitudes and peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Yes, I know that, symbolically speaking. But also, in a sense, it does not come out of some sort of... it arises from the consent of the multitude of people. It doesn't come from some elites. You know, the ten horns don't give the kingdom to the beast. They receive power with him. He does not get power from them. You know, they don't have a kingdom set up, and then he comes in and they say, here, you can be our king. No. He comes in and sets them up as kings. He rises out of the sea, and the other beast rises out of the earth. You know, the sea symbolizing peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues and kings. Actually, not in tongues and kings. I'm getting my prophetic lingo screwed up, because actually, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, I believe. But whatever. But the point is that he arises from that sort of multitude, the mandate of the multitude. Meaning, you know, they receive him. And all the world goes after him. So that's where he rides. The woman sits on it. She sits on all of it. She rides the beast. And she's very important in all of this. The apostate church is very... has a very central role in the kingdom of the beast. You know, she's riding the beast. So, but in that chapter, in 17, you get a lot of clues about what, well, a lot of explanation actually about what these things symbolically mean. So, on his heads, the name of blasphemy. What is this name of blasphemy? I've talked about it before. I remember when I was in the college Christian group, you know, they used to say something, one name under heaven, whereby we must be saved, you know, etc. Well, there's one name under heaven whereby, at least in my culture, men blaspheme. I mean, the name of blasphemy is Jesus Christ. That's the name that's written on the beast. He has a name written on him. The name of blasphemy. This beast with seven heads, ten horns, seven crowns, and the name Jesus Christ written on him. That's what I think. I think it's absolutely right. That is the name of blasphemy. What other name? What, the devil? You know, that's the name of blasphemy. You can't blaspheme God with the name of the devil. How do men blaspheme? With their blasphemies, you know? I mean, I wasn't going to say, maybe I'll just say God. I could say God, the Lord. But the most potent name of blasphemy is Jesus Christ. And I suppose in other cultures, you know, I've often thought the beast, you know, he has many heads. You know, he could shut down our communications, our internet and all that, that could all just be boosh, gone. It wouldn't surprise me one bit, all that stuff, boom, gone. And all this stuff that we rely on to communicate with each other, gone. And then let's say he divides different areas and controls what people see on their television. I mean, I thought, you know, well, you know, with supernatural power, maybe you could just flip your TV on when it's not even plugged in or whatever. But he's controlling all the information that's coming out You know, and in America, it could be, I am Jesus Christ. And then over in the Muslim nations, he could control their broadcasts and just, I am Allah. Could be, you know what I mean? It could be different things to different places, the different hats in different cultures. You know, whatever's going to be the most effective. You know, he's the devil. He doesn't have to have one story for everybody. He doesn't, you know, I mean, besides, everyone knows when you make lies to many people, you kind of end up having to play that sort of game. Well, there's nobody better at it. He's going to play that game better than any man ever has, talking out of seven sides of his mouth or 10 sides or whatever. So verse 2 says, and the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat in great authority. And the beast is leopard-like. You know, we could reference back to Daniel, the different beasts there, the different kingdoms, the beast with the leopard and the with the two heads and etc. But I'm not going to. I like to let Revelation sort of stand on its own. I really think someone recently told me, you know, they thought that, you know, the Old Testament was the key to the New, and I was no. I really, it's the opposite for me. I think the New Testament is the key to the Old, and Revelation is the key to all prophecy. All the other stuff you read in the Old Testament, you're kind of tinkering with stuff that's meant to be kind of deep, dark secrets back then. Revelation is the most plain you will ever get. And it's not that hard to understand. It was like a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth is the mouth of a lion. You know, that's all very powerful predator imagery. The bear's paws, the lion's mouth, the leopard's, you know, the leopard is that, it's a very skillful cat. I believe that's the one that climbs in trees and stuff. They're very cunning creatures like that. So, you know, it's the devil's power and kingdom. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat in great authority. The dragon is given power from God. You know, the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. He was cast on the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Well, now the dragon is here. He's giving this beast, and this beast, people say, who is the beast? Is the beast the Antichrist? No, I don't think the beast is the Antichrist. The beast is the government. A beast is not, if the 10 horns are 10 kings, and the beast itself can't be a man. Because, you know, a man that is not a man and 10 men. If the 10 horns are 10 kings, and the beast itself is a sort of a governmental entity, it's Satan's one world government and his one world power.